WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. The May days are ahead. It's Preakness month around here. The Orioles are playing some great baseball. And, of course, the Baltimore Ravens have made a little news over the weekend. We're going to make some news on Thursday doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. An area this guy's familiar with, Middle River. We're going down to the old Sioux Island. We're going to be at McFall's Oyster and Reel. I bet this guy's done some fishing down there off Rocky Point. I know he and I probably did some swimming down at Porter's when we were young lads. Our parents taking us on a meager budget down there to
what
we would call deep Essex. We're going to be giving away the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Lottery tickets, the instant scratch-offs. We had some winners last week downtown at Captain Larry's, as well as at Fadley's on Friday. We're going to be at McFall's on Thursday. Our friends at Window Nation giving me the floppy hat that I had so much fun. By the way, this is a free plug for our friends at Fadley's too. I wore the floppy hat. Dennis, I had Alicia on from Fadley's on Friday morning. She invited me to be a jockey in the Crab Derby down at the Lexington Market on the 17th. Very historic. Been going on for 50 years. It stopped for a few years. They're bringing it back. So I'm going to be a crab jockey with my wacky Window Nation floppy hat on. How are things at Coons Baltimore, Ford? And how's the pep in your step? And where were you around 4:21 when Luke sent the WNST text courtesy of Coons Baltimore, Ford? Did you fall out of your chair or no? Were you prepared mentally, spiritually, physically?
You know what? I good thing I didn't fall out of my chair with the Lock Raven fishing. So had I fallen out of my chair, I would have been dunked in the drink. So I got the text, then my phone started blowing up. All my friends started calling me and breaking the news, and we talked through it and whatnot, especially when the numbers came out for the Lamar contract. But that's exactly what I was doing. So I can tell anyone about it years down the road what happened, where I was when I got the late breaking news about the Lamar Jackson contract situation.
Well, much like when I spend time with you, either on Thursdays on your afternoon show, 3 to 5, Sunday morning, of course, 8 till noon, or whether it's us doing this, I try to stay off the phone. Like, so people text me during the show and I'm like, doing radio, leave me alone. You know what I mean? Like, so during, when I'm doing Captain Larry's, I had Shannon Toback, my dear friend from the old Rusty Scupper. She's traveled the world. She was climbing mountains in Patagonia 3 weeks ago. I love her. Had her down. Told some stories about real estate. I had Chris Reel, who does local tours. He shows people around Baltimore. He loves the city. His wife, she's beautiful. She has these Oriole signs that she holds up every night at Oriole games. So I had these great guests. But Todd Schuller, Essex Todd Schuller from Blondell Miller Schuller, was my guest. Todd hasn't done the radio show in like a year and a half. Like, yeah, they're sponsors, they're not, they're friends, they're lifers. I've been inviting him down. He comes down. We did 51 minutes on the Preakness, the Derby.
Nice.
Like all of this stuff. And when the segment ended, I turned around and there were guys at the bar and they're like, hey, there's Lamar to sign. And Schuller's on his phone. He's like, these jackass friends of mine still playing games with me. It's draft day and they're fishing me on this Lamar thing. And I'm like, no, I got the WNST text. It's true.
It's real.
This all happened around 4:35, 4:40. So I was about 10 minutes late to the party because I was just focused in a conversation I was having and my phone was down. So you always remember where you were and at that moment. And I got to ask you, because Luke and I have been back and forth, and I've said some things privately off the air to Luke about my thoughts about Lamar and his prospects and the team. Where are you? I mean, they had to do this, right? They had no choice. There was no, like, he won big time in the negotiation because they were bidding against themselves, as became very, very apparent. And I mean, the Colts took Anthony Richardson. They were happier with that. Okay. The Carolina Panthers took they all took their player this weekend. The Ravens kept their guy. You and I have been 6 months thinking they didn't really want him anymore, and they ponied up more money than three times what Ray Lewis ever made in his career, right? I mean, this is a big deal.
It's a huge deal, Nestor. Well, first of all, I'm relieved that we don't have to spend the next year or two still talking about this situation. I'm glad it's old news by this point, and that the team, the fan base, can move forward together in lockstep and have this thing behind us. Now, I think the biggest thing is now with Todd Monken becoming the new offensive coordinator for the Ravens, them getting Odell Beckham Jr., Zay Flowers, Nelson Aguilar, what have you, opening up the system. Now the key is, can Lamar get these guys the ball, right? That's the one thing that we have to see. Can he be consistent? Can he be more accurate to get the ball downfield? So I think there's a sense of excitement, relief here in Baltimore about the direction of the organization. And this albatross that was hanging around everyone's neck has been lifted. So I think it's a freshening, and it's time to move forward. In addition with the six new draft picks that the team picked up over the weekend.
Dennis, I'm going to start the party with you, and you're the first conversation. It's not Luke, and Luke and I fight like, you know, brothers around here, as you well know, about all of this stuff, which makes it good because we really don't agree. I'm going to give it to you, Dennis. You run a dealership. You bet on people. I bet on people that I shouldn't have bet on. So have you. You bet on winners. You bet on losers. You bet on, got us to the playoffs, but really didn't get us where we needed to go. Was okay for a little while. You know what I mean? Was fine. We're going to win a Super Bowl. And then in the Lamar, I mean, that's really what this comes down to. Do you believe this kid's going to win a Super Bowl? Do you believe he's going to beat Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow, and Josh Allen? Do you believe he's going to beat Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and Trevor Lawrence? I just gave you six quarterbacks that I would take any of them this year. Not Rodgers. You're bigger on him than I. I'd rather have Lamar. I really would. I think Lamar would beat Aaron Rodgers this year. I believe that. But I don't believe – I'm not a big believer that Lamar is going to win a Super Bowl. I shouldn't say, because I'm going to eat my words if there's a parade, because they're good at what they do. I mean, Roquan Smith, they have players. They put all this around him. But I still – they signed him, and they had to, and this is where they are. And I'm not really sold that they win a Super Bowl this way. I've never been sold on it. We're in year 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 now. And I don't feel like they're any closer than they were in 19 just for having him. And it's worse because he's got a $52 million cap number, and now they're going to play football with less money by a lot, by a whole lot.
Well, there's an element of luck needed every year for a team to win the Super Bowl. It's also not tennis or wrestling. It's a 53-man show. So Lamar is one of 53, and he has to play well in order for the Ravens to have a chance to win the Super Bowl. But with that said, the Ravens have been in the playoffs the last 4 out of 5 years now. So anytime a team can get in the playoffs, the best team, as we know, doesn't always win. It's a team that gets hot. It's a team that gets the breaks. And as you mentioned, the defense led by Roquan Smith is solid. It's very, very strong. Very strong special teams. The offensive line comes back full strength. They have a lot of toys, a lot of weapons now. They can still run the ball. They still have John Harbaugh as a head coach. So I think with all those elements, do they have a chance? Yes, I think they have a chance. As long as Lamar Jackson can stay healthy and he can work on his accuracy, I think those are the two biggest things. But the Ravens getting the playoffs, I mean, if Snoop Huntley doesn't turn up all over, they advance. They beat Cincinnati. That was a 14-point swing. And we can't ignore that. So do I think they can win the Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson? They won with Trent Dilfer. They won one with Joe Flacco. I mean, there's teams that win every year, almost every year with a one-year quarterback. But I do think they have a good chance to win the Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson the next 5 years.
Dennis, he's Superman. I mean, we've seen him go into the phone booth, and because you can't tackle him, right? And scheming for him, you can scheme for him now. Maybe you couldn't before, you know, Pagano's brother put the 92 defense in and shut him down 4 years ago. And everybody is playing that way now. And that's the way the Colts are going to play. Teams are going to play this way now. Right. And that's fine. That's cool. Everything you've just brought out we're in year six now of having the same conversations. And the difference now is, this is going to be a pass-first offense, right? I mean, it like really, really is, because it's going to need to be, because they're not going to run Lamar around. Now it's their investment. Now it's no longer Lamar's taking care of making a business decision. If Lamar gets broken in half, they're on for $185 million. So if they get him broken in half and he can't play in January, shame on them, right? So now they're going to put him in the pocket and have him throw the football around. I mean, he threw an awful pick in that Giants game that cost them, right? When he starts to open up and he has to come from behind. They played from ahead every way from – I was out in L.A. at that gun show they put on out there against the Rams 4 years ago. But you know, we're getting 3, 4, 5 years out on this. He's getting closer to 30 than 20. He's two injuries that you could say, well, they weren't bad injuries. They ended his season twice in a row. No. So I still look at this and say, why didn't anybody else want him? I still ask that question.
A couple of reasons, Nestor. They all throw bad picks. All quarterbacks throw some awful picks. We've seen Aaron Rodgers do it, Patrick Mahomes. They all make bonehead plays. I wish the Ravens would have kept him in there. I mean, the only way he's going to learn is by making mistakes. So I don't know how you do that when you turtle the guy. The second piece of it is this: there is an element out there. My thought process in this regard that Greg Roman took the best space player. Arguably the best space player in NFL history, and put him in the phone booth. If Todd Monken lets him out of that phone booth, puts him in the pro style offense, schemes receivers open, has a modern day passing game, yeah, Lamar can get a chance to shine. And also, he's gotten some receivers that can potentially win 50-50 balls, which your better quarterbacks have at their disposal, something Lamar Jackson hasn't had in his career. So, opening up the offense, putting them in space, having him more toys, scheming people open, I do think the Ravens offense has a chance to take a step or perhaps two forward. And that would be fantastic when you combine them with that defense playing complementary football.
It's a lot of money, and you and I have talked so much about feelings and the optics of all of it. You know, the miserable head coach, the PR director telling people they can't ask questions, the players having to defend him not showing up in Cincinnati for the playoff game and all that represented. Then he asked for a trade and it ignites the fan base here in a really negative way. He's now been given more money than anybody ever, 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 ever. And he's going to throw picks and he's going to get booed for that. And they're going to have a bad beat. That's going to happen in the first 9 weeks of the year. They're going to lose a bad game or two or three. This is the bags get real heavy from here. He can afford it,
Well,
but
I
he has not been. He's been a really sensitive kid. He's had rabbit ears. He has been profane with a guy on the internet long past the 25 years of age that he should be doing this, long past where his checkbook or his ego should allow him to do this. And now, and this is where I'm gonna get negative on Baltimore positive. You and I have been sitting here for 6 months talking about this kid and whether they believed in him or not. And you and I are adults and we've been at this. I'm 55 years old. You've been at this a long time. You've managed people at a high level. We've witnessed all of this. We're not just making this up that this hasn't been going well the last 6 months, right? We've all had girlfriends, relationships, friendships that take a bad turn over a couple drinks and you make things right. There's an incident. There's something that happened at work. You hit on my girlfriend when you're 18. All of this stuff that happens that you work things out, and you can make things right. They're clearly going to make things right over $185 million and John's Lifelines. They've made this commitment. So you and I have felt all along that they would have been okay moving on. Now they're not, it's not just okay moving on. The only way Eric and John win a Super Bowl now is him. They are like, this is a huge contract. There is no, if there's an injury, anything catastrophic or awful or just a little bad, or just if it gets heavy, like it did for Carson Wentz, like it did for RG3, like it has for Tyler Murray, like it has for Kyler Murray, excuse me, like it did for Russell Wilson last year. Like, this is just, the expectation level goes through the roof here. And now all of these transgressions that Lamar has had and problems and whatever it was and the contract and his mother and whatever, all, Hollywood Brown and WTF and I want to be traded 5 minutes ago.
All in the rearview mirror. It's
Go ahead,
all
talk to me. Talk to me because I just laid it out for you.
all in the rearview mirror. Next, you got to fix your eyes forward. All these situations you mentioned, that's all water under the dam now. In fact, I have friends of mine, they're calling me for tickets already for the opener.
They want your jersey that you were
People,
auctioning off 3 weeks ago.
correct. People, I wasn't auctioning it off, but people are all in. I mean, they're ready. They're ready to roll. They're ready to roll. That they realize the roster is still not done. It's still under construction. Still some holes to plug. Still some free agents out there for Eric DaCosta and company to pick up on. But no, everybody's excited and can't wait for the opener. And I think that's right. That's, I mean, you got to move forward at some point. And all this stuff you mentioned is accurate, but it's still in the rearview mirror. It doesn't make things. Doesn't affect the future. It just doesn't. It's time to move forward.
Well, when Luke and I go to the mat on all this, he's like, "Well, what did you want him to do?" And I'm like, "Well, they are a better football team today than they were last week. And they're a
Of
better
course they
football
are.
team today than they would have been if they had Anthony Richardson and three draft picks or,
Without a question.
whatever they would have shined up to sell
Sure.
here. they would have been able to sell that and say, we couldn't get along with that kid and we couldn't make it work. Now, all of a sudden,
A or B, either way.
Here we are. Now,
either way,
is he showing up to OTAs? Is he first in class? Does he have a foundation here? Is he
we'll
here?
See.
Is he, you know, can they keep him healthy? Is he not? How is this offense going to work? And how accurate is he going to be throwing the ball 38 to 50 times a game, which is what they're going to need to do because they have a huge wide receiver room now, right? Like, you know, Bateman's not here to get five passes a week and Beckham gets six targets a week and they're going to toss the ball around 26, 28 times and Lamar's going to run more and Lamar's going to dive for a first down. They better figure out how to get first downs without that happening.
They have to score points, Nestor. That's the bottom line. That's what's lost upon Greg Roman. He got so enamored with ball control. He was even to the point where he was concerned with giving the opposition's the opposing team's offense more reps instead of focusing on scoring points in a red zone, which was the difference between the 2019 Ravens and the 2020, 21, and 22 edition. Not only were they not scoring touchdowns, they weren't even scoring field goals. They went on for fourth and one multiple times. They failed. The objective of an offense is to score points. Be a pass, be a rush, or run, it doesn't matter. And that's what they have to get back to, whether it's by if they're winning by three touchdowns, they're not going to put the ball up 30 more times. They'll run. They have enough of a running game. They'll still be able to bludgeon teams to death. And I think that's what I'm excited about, is that there'll be some balance to the offense, some common sense, perhaps with Tom Monken. And I do think the offense can take not only just one step forward, I think the offense can take two steps forwards. You have a maturing defense. Roquan Smith was a game changer. And it's still complementary football, right? The offense, defense, special teams. But I do think to bring the offense to the modern-day era, it's exciting for all of us as Ravens fans.
All right, listen, I'm not going to let you sit on the fence, okay, because we've been talking about this for 6 months. So don't tell me they both won. Who won the negotiation, Lamar or the Ravens? Luke and I came to blows on this Friday morning. He had been up late and he looked at me. He's like, you're nuts. Lamar didn't win. Lamar wanted blah, 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 blah. And I said, nobody wanted Lamar, and Lamar can want all he wants.
Lamar Jackson
got maximum money. Lamar did well for Lamar. Lamar's the big winner here for me. Steve could have walked away. The team could have walked away. They could have dealt him for a bag of footballs and picked the quarterback and moved on. If that's the way that Lamar won to me.
Clearly, they were negotiating against themselves. As you mentioned, no one else was in the game. No one else knocked on this door, as far as we know. And so clearly, Lamar Jackson won the negotiation. He didn't even have to pay an agent $7.8 million, so he saved that on the back end by not having an agent. He just took the Jalen Hurts contract to the Ravens and said, here you go, beat this. And that's exactly what they did. They used that contract as a model. They gave him $10 million more than their last offer, and they put it to bed. So to me, who won? Yeah, Lamar Jackson clearly won. I mean, he's got that $185 guaranteed, whether he plays again or not. That contract has been signed.
Well, that's why I put the picture of him smoking the cigarette up, because somebody put that up on Twitter, and I'm like, yeah. I mean, for all we said about Lamar, and he needed an agent if he wanted to get bidding against the Ravens, and
won.
It turned out that he didn't need to do that. The Ravens were willing to bid against themselves. The Ravens were scared to death to go to real war with him. Real war with him would have been, we're not letting you in the building. You're not coming in the building. You're not signing your tender. That's war. He didn't want that. He wasn't going to play for $32 million. And he didn't have an agent sophisticated enough to peddle him off to San Francisco or Indianapolis or any. I mean, as far as we know, his phone didn't ring. Dennis, his phone didn't ring. That's unbelievable.
If the Ravens win a Super Bowl in the next 5 years, then the Ravens would have also won. But clearly, initially, the initial win goes to Lamar Jackson. What happens is, so somebody said, you know, the NFL said, hey, who had the best draft class? I tell people, check with me in 2026. I'll tell you who had the best draft class. It's impossible to predict who had the best draft class the day after the draft was completed. Same thing with Lamar Jackson contract. He plays 5 years. He wins the MVP again. Ravens win the Super Bowl or two. Then yeah, they were also winners. But initially, the player has won this negotiation without question. He has
every negative thing we could talk about with Lamar not playing in the playoffs the last 2 years. The fact that he hasn't won playoff game, like the fact that he didn't show up in Cincinnati, which would have been the first question Mr. Blank would have asked him, right? Or anybody that hasn't met him that's going to give him
Well,
$200 million,
maybe
right?
that's why Mr. Blank didn't get in the negotiations. Maybe that's why he didn't call Lamar Jackson, because he saw he didn't make the trip to Cincinnati. But clearly, if the question is who won, the player won. And I'm not saying that grudgingly. I'm just saying that factually, the player won. Now the team can't
I
win without
agree.
quarterback.
I to me, the Ravens blinked here. The
No,
Ravens blinked.
but they didn't have much of a choice. You can't go into the season with Tyler Huntley as your starting quarterback. You're not going to win. You might win 7 or 8 games with Huntley as your quarterback, maybe.
So
You're not.
what's in Bisciotti's mind? You're Steve. Play the role of Steve Bisciotti here on $185 million. Do you care? Do you like the risk? I mean, the risk reward on it's crazy, but you had no other options. It wasn't a great hand for the Ravens, right? Like they were so married to this young man that they couldn't get unmarried. The weird circumstances, the unorthodox no agent thing did not allow a normal course of, hey, there's four, like there was last year, even for a very abnormal player in Deshaun Watson. There was a real market and a sweepstakes for him that never existed for Lamar. And I think part of that on Lamar is that he didn't play the playoff games, isn't there at the end, is a different style of quarterback that you feel like he's going to have to run to be successful. And I don't know if he could throw the ball for, if we had to throw the ball 45 times, if we're losing by 14 points in Buffalo in January and we have to throw the ball, is he the guy we want doing it? I don't
Let
know. He's our guy now, though. He's going to be the guy doing it here.
me tell you
And
where Steve Bisciotti is. Steve
go ahead.
Bisciotti, he's got his small eye on the team. He's got his big eye fixated on a team about 42 miles southwest of him, a franchise about to get sold for $6 or $7 billion. That's what Steve Bisciotti's looking at. So this Lamar Jackson contract to him and the big scheme with him, things. It's peanuts. It's irrelevant. It doesn't matter because the
Well, the
value of his
money's going to get sunk
franchise.
on football players no matter what.
Yeah,
What does he care?
and the value of his franchise continues to increase by the minute. So do I? I don't think he cares. You know, look, his ego is it's a competitive franchise. They've been in the playoffs for the last 5 years. They're one of the best organizations in pro sports, and it's he's making money. So I don't think he cares about. The money, he's going to spend it either way, as you mentioned. They have to spend up to the cap, 90% of the cap. He's going to spend the money either way. So I don't think he cares. And you can't win. The other piece is you can't win without a quarterback. We also can't ignore the Ravens' record with Lamar Jackson under center than without him. Can't do that.
They are much better. They had
Much
to do
better.
this. They had to
Much
do
better. They
this.
had no choice. They had no choice. Didn't want to, didn't want to spend that kind of money, but they had to. There had to be a day of reckoning. Now, could they have gotten there smoother? Yes. Could have been more pleasant, yes. Could have been resolved a long time ago, absolutely. But now it's in the rearview mirror. It's time to fixate our eyes forward and move forward and have some hope and looking forward to seeing a different offensive scheme. I think it's time for freshening, and I'm very excited about having Todd Monken as our OC.
I would say that nobody ever asked Lamar if he ever turned down $185 million, because if they had offered $185 million, I have a feeling he would have been in Cincinnati a couple months ago. You know what I mean?
Maybe. Yeah, it wasn't a good look. You know, there's no question about that. And I thought he made some business decisions last year before he got hurt. I thought he was playing not to get hurt. So, of course, when you play not to get hurt, that's when you get hurt. But now he's got his money. He's got secured. He's got his bag. He's not worried about his knee. Hopefully the rehab is going well, which I haven't heard anyone talk about how the knee is progressing, right? So as long as that knee's healthy, they can keep him upright, get him all these weapons, keep that running game going. They have a chance. They have a shot in a very tough division with the Bengals, the Steelers, and the Browns. And it should be a very fun season. And you always hope the best of health, not just for him, but for guys like Ronnie Stanley and the rest of them. And they can stay upright. They have a chance.
Colatsos is here. He will be back here again on Thursday from 3 until 5, and again on Sunday morning with the Sunday Sports Voice. You can find him out of Coons Baltimore Ford Security Boulevard, just outside, excuse me, the Beltway. You can also find him out on the front of BaltimorePositive.com. Usually you and I get together like after the draft, and it's this pick and that pick and this hope. We haven't said Zay Flowers yet, and we're 30 minutes into this conversation. They pick football players this weekend.
They
Everybody,
did.
the interesting thing about the draft is you sit here and you watch Mel Kiper and Susie and the NFL and Eisen and all this. I miss Mayock, by the way. I watch all of this, and I get caught up. I'm like, Oh yeah, Sean Payton's running Denver. I forgot about that, right?
Lots
And
of change.
yeah, and it really catches you up on everything over the weekend, and you can feel good about being the Ravens when you say we got our quarterback and we're going to be competitive. And then you look at the dregs of the league and say, "Oh my God, the Texans and the Colts and the Cardinals and these teams that can't get out of their own way, they sit there as well." But for the Ravens in the draft, it's a weird weekend in that this is usually the bounty of players and possibilities. I mean, it's the smallest class in 20, 25 years, and it's also Roquan Smith, Roquan Smith. And I keep thinking to myself, that's the guy they wanted to be married to, right? I mean, you talk about where their second round draft pick and how the draft class is. I talked to Luke for 15 minutes about Roquan Smith as though they brought him in yesterday, because to some degree, even if they didn't keep Lamar around, and I think there were periods of time where they believed they were going to live without Lamar, and I think they'd probably be honest with you if they would, you would ask them 6, 8 weeks ago whether life would have gone on, that Roquan Smith was, a force multiplier, to steal Eric DaCosta's line.
No, there's no question about that. He is that and then some, and they're very fortunate to have him. But you're right. You and I would have been talking about the draft ad nauseum. It's strange that like, half an hour later, you and I haven't brought it up. But it was a bit underwhelming for Ravens fans. We used to having a plethora of picks. And just having picked seven, six guys, I mean, it's not a ton to talk about. We can debate the should have taken that receiver in the first round or perhaps a defensive back like Joey Porter. But that's neither here or there. That's wonder under the dam now. They decided to go offense first, give Lamar Jackson another weapon. And he had to be very happy about that. In fact, he was very happy about that. And there's still some other stories, the Patrick Queen story still out there and some other things they have to get done, some business they have to take care of. But you have to feel good. And one thing I'll say about the draft, Nestor, I feel better about the Ravens having Lamar Jackson at quarterback than I would have had the Colts had him as quarterback. And the Ravens selected Anthony Richardson because, again, there's no, there really is no, there's no data that can tell you whether Richardson's going to be a great NFL quarterback or not. Where there's Lamar Jackson, you know what you have with him. As long as he can stay healthy, he is a difference maker.
Well, there's no question Lamar can do this, but can he do this at the highest level to beat three and four teams in
We're going to find
January?
out. We're going to
Well,
find out.
and we're also at a time in the game for, and Bisciotti would say this of all of his ownership tenure here in 20 years of doing this, this is the most stacked it's ever been, with the best class and group of young quarterbacks from Burrow to Lawrence, and Andrew Luck would be in his prime right now if they didn't break him in half,
He
right?
would if
So
they got
he
him on
would
the
be,
offensive
right?
line.
So
Yeah.
this group of players that's there, if Lamar's the third or fourth best, that might not be such an insult, but that won't be good enough. Maybe once it'll be good enough, but
Yeah,
this
you know
is
what? But if we win one Super Bowl in the next 5 years, I think we'll all be very happy. And another
no question.
big silver Betty. And that's a chance that they're taking. And they have a lot better chance with Lamar Jackson than any of the four quarterbacks. Three quarterbacks, rather, that was selected in the first round.
How do you feel about what this is going to do to the Flaccoization of the franchise and the roster? I mean, I remember it vividly. I took all the phone calls when Joe got his money, and then we don't have Anquan Boldin because of that. You're not going to see and feel that because they brought Beckham in on the front end. But 2 years from now, if they don't win this year and don't win next year, and they're in year three, they're going to have a diminished field of players. And if Perryman can, or excuse me, Perryman, wow, but terrible that I say that. Bateman can play, he'll get paid somewhere. He'll be a Torrey Smith and have to go somewhere else and get his bag, right? That's where this Lamar thing, it's nuts and honey right now. Everybody's happy and feeding themselves grapes, and we're all happy. We're good. But 52 million against the cap, 52 million against the cap, even though it's going to be an emerging cap with all the YouTube money and Amazon and all that, that's fine. But it's 20% of the cap, the quarterback. He better be that good, and everybody around him better be that much better. And they're not going to have Odell Beckham after this year. They're going to have more like James Proche or Devin Duke, whoever they draft next year or the year after that. They're going to have to draft really well around him the next 3 years offensively.
Well, Jalen Hurts' contract was very, very cap friendly the way they did it. And I'm curious to see what the breakdown is of the was of the Lamar Jackson contract because Hurts, the way they structured it, very team friendly, keeps that window open for the Eagles for the next 4 or 5 years because he got a lot of money up front. So let's see what the contract looks like for Lamar Jackson to see if there is room for the Ravens to attract and to be able to keep that roster together.
Well, it's amazing because, you know, what's it going to be? 50, 60, 80, how much money is he getting up front?
Lamar or
yeah,
Hurts?
Lamar.
That I don't know. I mean, but Hurts, I mean, if you look at the structure that we did it together, he gets 6.1 million in 23, 13 and 24, 21 and 25, and 31 and 26. That is a very cap friendly deal. And I don't know how Harry Roseman put it together, but the Ravens would have been wise to have copied that contract.
I'm sure they will. Know, the
because
Pat
it does,
Moriarty's
it leaves room for the team to be competitive, which something they had a difficult time doing under the Joe Flacco era. Hopefully they learn from that.
Dennis Galatos is here. He's learning things. What's going on in the car business, man? It's you keep telling me that the trade-ins are like up again.
They're gold.
But you have tons of cars, right?
We have tons of cars. We have tons of brand new vehicles, tons of pre-owned vehicles, but we're looking for more because trade-in values, they're spiking back up again. So it's just like the stock market, things get hot, things get cold. And right now, nice late model, low mileage trades are at a premium once again. They're doing shots at the auction. So I'd rather give our customers that same money at the door than buying auction cars. But it's a scarcity market, and used cars are scarce right now, Ness.
That's the issue. Just not a lot of them.
No, because rental companies are buying them at auction. They're paying whatever because they got to have them to put people in. So Hertz and Enterprise and those guys, I mean, they're just paying stupid money. They're paying close to retail for vehicles at the auction.
Wow. All right. So,
yeah,
this is
the competition.
Education part
that's
of
the
your
competition.
Business.
That's the competition right now, man, because there's been a shortage of new vehicles. So when you don't have new vehicles coming to market, there's nothing for these rental car companies to buy. And they have to have cars to put customers in. And when they buy them at a premium, then they got to charge customers more to make up for it. So that's the rat race with the rental car industry right now.
Well, I hope you get in there and compete. Now you don't have to worry about any more reading Kuiper's books. You don't have to worry about the Lamarathon and every customer coming in worrying about Lamar. Now we can focus on what's really important, the Orioles.
Hey, I'm looking at the 2024 draft already. What are you talking about?
Hey, man.
It never ends.
We're 9 days out on getting a schedule here, too. So, you know, we're going to have an NFL schedule next week.
That'll be
a lot
great.
Of West Coast games, maybe a Europe game. Who knows? So we'll be monitoring all that.
I hope the Tennessee games in Nashville versus in Europe. Love to go to Nashville.
All right. I'd love to go to Europe. So, hey, you know, I've been to Nashville before.
Going there anyway. So either way, we're going to win.
All right. By the way, my wife wants to know when your Greek island's opening up. So, you know, I just figured I'd throw you that. Because, you know, we spent last week in the most beautiful place in America and sunning ourselves. We snuck away a little bit, got back.
Nice.
And then it's go, 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 man. From the minute I got that text about Lamar on Thursday, I'm at Captain Larry's, I'm at Faithies, we're doing crab cakes. Dennis Kolatsos will be here on Thursday from 3 until 5, driving you home, as well as on Sunday morning. I will be between 2 and 5 on Thursday. I'll be over at McFalls and the Oyster and Reel in Middle River, the land that Dennis Kolatsos knows. Well, not quite. EVT was more Essex, but I always
– It was.
Over the bridge, Essex, Middle River, Kenwood, Chesapeake, all the same to me. I love you
stuff,
all.
Man.
You're our crazy
Absolutely.
Cousins on the other side of the bridge. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery and our friends at Window Nation. 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. 5 years, 0% financing. I know Dennis has some cars with 0% financing too, so we're getting into that game as well. And we got the Preakness being run a couple weeks from now. It is a great time to be alive. At some point, it'll warm up around here, I promise. We're going to warm things up. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.